This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We begin by praising Allah Azza wa Jal, the Almighty, the Majestic, the Exalted. We ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we have arrived at the last stretch of this blessed month, the month of Ramadan. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses each and every one of us with long, healthy and productive lives to attain many more Ramadan in the future. Now, with regards to the last 10 nights of Ramadan, the coming night is the first night from the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. And we learn from the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that these last 10 nights, they contain a special and powerful night known as Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He creates what He wills and He chooses what He wills. In other words, He gives superiority to whichever of His creation that He wishes. So when talking about the passages of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created time, and He chose certain passages of time to be greater, to be more virtuous, to be superior over other passages of time. When talking about months, the month of Ramadan is the best month. When talking about days, the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are the best days. When talking about nights, the last 10 nights of Ramadan are the best nights. And if you were to pinpoint one specific night, Laylatul Qadr is the one specific night that is full of virtue, that is considered the best night. And during a week, if you were to pinpoint or to specify a day that is full of virtue and that is better than the other days, it is Yawmul Jum'ah, Friday. So now in this video, we're going to unpack and discuss Laylatul Qadr. So Laylatul Qadr, the term Laylatul Qadr, it consists of two words. You have Layla and you have the word Al-Qadr bi iskani dal. You can read it as Al-Qadr by putting a sukun on top of the dal, or you can also read it as Al-Qadr in the Arabic language with a fatha on top of the dal. So Laylatul Qadr. Layla is loosely translated as night and is defined as the time period after sunset until dawn the next day. As for Al-Qadr now, interestingly, you obviously have the literal definition and you have the technical definition. Let's start off with the literal definition. So under the literal definition, you have a couple of meanings that have been suited upon this word. For example, you have the meaning al-qada'u wal-hukm in the Arabic language that has been suited upon this word. In other words, al-qada' and al-hukm can be translated as decree. And here we're talking about the divine decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, the divine ordainment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this meaning, to back it, because each of these meanings we're going to try and back them from with evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, you have the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu that has been recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, that illustrates and talks about the powerful dua of al-istikhara. Now we know that it is from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray al-istikhara, to make the dua of al-istikhara. You see, when before setting out on an important matter, if you're faced with, you know, two options in front of you, it is upon you, it is from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray and to make a dua with regards to the dua, to use the dua of al-istikhara with regards to that particular matter. In other words, you're seeking goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you set out on the matter. So in the dua, in that particular dua where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he teaches us, the wording goes as follows: Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik wa astaqdiruka biqudratik wa as'aluka min fadlikal azim fa innaka taqdir wa la aqdir wa ta'lam wa la a'lam wa anta 'allamul ghuyub. اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فاقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه. So basically, in a nutshell, you are in that dua praising Allah Azza wa Jal and then going on to say, oh Allah, this matter, إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي, if this matter is good for me, if it is good for my deen, if it is good for my livelihood, then فَقُدُرْهُ لِي, decree it for me, ordain it for me, ثُمَّ يَسِّرْهُ لِي, and then facilitate it for me, ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِي, and then bless me in it, subhanAllah. On the other hand, if it is something bad for my life, for my deen, for my livelihood, then فَصْرِفْهُ عَنِّي وَصْرِفْنِي عَنْ, then turn me away from it, and turn that thing away from me, avert me away from it, and avert that thing away from me. وَقُدُرْ لِي الْخَيْرَ حَيْثُ كَانْ. And then again the word is used, وَقُدُرْ. Again, decree and ordain for me goodness wherever it may be. So as you can see, the word earlier on, فَقُدُرْهُ لِي, and here, وَقُدُرْ لِي. So this is in the imperative tense, but it's the same word basically. It stems from the same roots. فَقُدُرْهُ لِي, which means to decree, to ordain. So this is one meaning that is suited upon the term al-qadr. Another meaning that can be suited is التدبير. التدبير in the Arabic language, which is to plan, in a very strategic way, to plan and to put things into motion. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah says with regards to this particular night in Surah Al-Dukhan, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. And during this night, every precise matter is made distinct. So there is this very strategic, very precise plan that is put in place during this night, and we will discuss it, we will unpack it in just a bit. Another meaning that is suited upon the word al-qadr in its literal sense is at-tadyiq in the Arabic language, which can be translated as a sense of narrowness, constraint. As Allah says in Surah Al-Fajr, وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبِتَ لَهُ فَقَدَرَ عليه رزقه فيقول ربي أهانن. But when Allah, when He tries him and restricts his provision, when Allah tries the human being and restricts his provision, فقدر عليه رزقه, when He restricts, when He confines, when He narrows His provision, فيقول ربي أهانن, then He says, my Lord has humiliated me. So here, as you can see, the term فقدر has been used with the meaning of restriction constraint. So these were the literal definitions. And interestingly, my dear brothers and sisters, the literal definitions actually go hand in hand with the technical definitions with regards to Laylatul Qadr, with regards to Laylatul Qadr. So now, with regards to the istilahi or the technical definitions, meaning number one that can be suited for Laylatul Qadr is that it is a blessed night. A blessed night. Laylatul Qadr can be translated as the night of power, the night of decree, a blessed night. And if you're wondering where we got the meaning of it being blessed, Allah says in Surah Al-Dukhan, Hameem wal kitabil mubin, inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. Indeed, we revealed it, i.e. the Quran, during a blessed night. Laylatul Qadr fi laylatin mubarakah, a blessed night. Then it is a matter of, it is a night of decree. So it is known, Laylatul Qadr is known as the night of decree, the night of at-tadbir, like we mentioned earlier on, because Allah in the same surah goes on to say, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ, the ayah that we discussed earlier on. On that night, every precise matter is made distinct. There are matters of divine ordainment that take place during Laylatul Qadr, as we will discuss in just a bit. So divine ordainment takes place. Now you may be wondering, divine ordainment? But I seem to recall that everything was determined before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Yes, my dear brother, my dear sister, you aren't wrong in that regard. But with regards to divine ordainment, you need to understand that there are five types of divine ordainment, and this is deduced from the Quran and the Sunnah. Firstly, it is from the articles of faith to believe in Al-Qadr, again the same word. from the articles of faith, and tu'mina billah, to believe in Allah, wa malaikatihi, his angels, wa kutubihi, his books, wa rusulihi, his messengers, wal yawmil akhir, and to believe in last day, wa bil qadr, and to believe in destiny, that everything has been predetermined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that good and evil is from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we believe in. So when discussing that particular article of faith, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you have to understand that we have five types of taqadir in the Arabic language. Number one, taqadir azali. Taqadir azali. I'm going to very quickly unpack each of these categories for us to gain a clear understanding, inshallah. But for now, I'm just going to quickly list them down. Taqadir azali. And then you have taqdir fi yawm al-mithaq. Then you have taqdirun umuri, taqdirun hawli, and taqdirun yawmi. So let's start off with the first one, taqdirun azali. It's almost like we're talking about this established, permanent type of taqdir, divine ordainment. Now this is the taqdir, this is the divine ordainment that took place before the creation of the heavens and the earth. And as per the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this took place 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. We have a hadith that has been recorded by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. It is an authentic hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that the first of what was created by Allah was the pen. And then Allah commands the pen, uktub. Okay, and then the pen writes, it basically writes by the will of Allah, by the command of Allah, everything that is to take place until the day of Qiyamah, until Judgment Day. Until Judgment Day. So this is the main database, if you will. And none has access to this except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, we live upon a landscape where information is so valuable, yes or no? So just imagine if someone were to have access to this privileged classified information. Subhanallah. It is only Allah Azza wa Jal who has access to all that information. As Allah says in Surah Al-Qamar, Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadr. Indeed, everything, all things we created with predetermination, biqadr. So this is number one. Taqdir azali. I hope it's clear. So you have taqdirun azali, which is the primary form of taqdir. And the second type of qadr is basically the qadr or the decree that took place on yawm al-mithaq. Now with regards to yawm al-mithaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in Surah Al-A'raf, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا. And remember when your Lord took from the children of Adam, from their loins, their descendants, and made them testify of themselves. So it was asked from all of us. From all of us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. It was asked from us, am I not your Lord? Allah Azza wa Jal, He asks us, am I not your Lord? And we all responded to Allah's question, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. We responded, قَالُوا بَلَى. Yes, شَهِدْنَا. We have testified. So on this day, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it was decreed by Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to who is going to go to Jannah. Who is going to go to paradise? Who are going to be the fortunate ones? And who is going to be going to Jahannam, hellfire? Who are the unfortunate ones? Now, obviously, this discussion is a lengthy one with regards to Qadr in and of itself, with regards to the divine decree. And it is something that scholars like Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, and others have said, when if you are to try and traverse the ocean, the shoreless ocean of Al-Qadr, of divine decree, then you can only attempt to do so on the ship of salvation, i.e. the ship of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it is something so deep that our weak minds find it difficult to wrap themselves around. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us clear understanding. Ameen. So this is the second type of taqdir. And then we have the third type of taqdeer, which is known as taqdeer umuri. تقدير عمري. And with regards to التقدير العمري, now we have a hadith, for example, the one in the book of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim رحمهم الله, where Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه is reported to have said that إن أحدكم, that indeed each and every one of you, you are gathered, your creation is gathered in the womb of your mother for 40 days, where at one stage you are an alaqa, a clot, and then you become a mudgha, a piece of flesh. And then an angel is sent, where the angel breathes the ruh into the child, and then he goes on to basically write with regards to, and this information is given obviously from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain things are decreed at that juncture with regards to that human being's rizq, with regards to that human being's provision, with regards to that human being's lifespan, with regards to that human being's actions, and as to whether this individual is going to be fortunate or unfortunate. Shaqiyun aw sa'idun. When we say shaqi and sa'id, shaqi basically, so these two traits, one is this individual is going to be fortunate, he's going to be from those who are going to please Allah Azza wa Jal and become from the people of Jannah eventually. And unfortunate in the sense this individual is going to anger Allah Azza wa Jal and then become an individual from the denizens of the fire of hell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. And now you have the fourth category of taqdeer, known as taqdeerun hawli. Now this is the category that is to be highlighted with regards to Laylatul Qadr, because this particular ordainment takes place on a yearly basis. On a yearly basis during Laylatul Qadr. And you have to understand, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that all these categories refer to Taqdeerun Azali, which is the main database. It is from there that information is passed on to the second category, the third category, and then the fourth category. So on a yearly basis, with regards to what's going to happen during that year, how many people are going to be born, who and who is going to be born, who and who are going to pass away from this world. What kind of incidents, what occurrences are going to take place? All of this is decreed taqdeerun hawli on a yearly basis during Laylatul Qadr. Fiha yufraqu kullu amrin hakim, like we mentioned earlier on. The last category, very quickly, is taqdeerun yawmi, where there is divine ordainment happening on a daily basis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Noble Quran, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ, that during every single day, Allah Azza wa Jal brings about matters. So from this we understand that on a daily basis, there is divine ordainment and decrees taking place. So as you can see, there are all these categories in place. And that is why this night is a night, a blessed night, a very powerful night. It is known as the night of power. It is also known as the night of decree. Now, along with that, we mentioned earlier on when discussing the literal definition that there is a meaning suited for the word al-qadr as tadyiq, narrowness and constraint. Now, you might be wondering, how are we going to reconcile that meaning with the technical definition? To gain clarity in this regard, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you have to look at Surah Al-Qadr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes on to say, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحِ. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descends during the night of power. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is an angel who does not descend for ordinary matters. So if he is descending, it's a pretty big deal. And along with him, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, angels are descending in hordes. So you have torrents of angels coming down. And as per the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, they'll be so large in number, like pebbles, but you won't be able to count them. And there'll be so many angels flooding earth during Laylatul Qadr, that there will actually be tadyiq, narrowness and constraint of space. Subhanallah, what a blessed night. What a powerful night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us to attain Laylatul Qadr. Ameen. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. that this is a night, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that is better than 1,000 months. Do the math. 1,000 months divided by 12. You have 83 years and 4 months, subhanAllah. So if you were to coincide with this night, your deeds, you're going to be rewarded equivalent to 1,000 months, 83 years and 4 months, subhanAllah. Can we even guarantee, can we assure ourselves that we would live that long? And even if you were to live that long, are you able to spend every single second of each day from those 83 years in ibadah? No, you will involve yourself in other things, you know, perhaps your own personal matters. It's not like you're going to be in ibadah from morning to evening. But by coinciding with Laylatul Qadr, you stand to accrue rewards for being engrossed in ibadah from morning to evening for 83 years and 4 months. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Look at the virtues. Look at the virtues. Mind-blowing. So it's such a powerful night. And this night is hidden within the last 10 nights, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. We have the hadith of Ubadat ibn As-Samit radiyallahu an, that has been recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari. He says, خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليخبرنا بليلة القدر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came out to inform us about Laylatul Qadr. But two Muslims were fighting with one another. They were arguing with one another. They were quarreling with each other. So the Prophet ﷺ at that juncture, he says, I came out to inform you about Laylatul Qadr, but such and such persons were quarreling, so the news about it has been taken away from me. I came to give you the information, but because the two of you were quarreling, the information has been taken away from me. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes on to say, وَعَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And perhaps, you know, it might be for your own good. فَالْتَمِسُوهَا فِي التَّاسِعَةِ وَالسَّابِعَةِ وَالْخَامِسَةِ. So search for Laylatul Qadr during the 29th, 27th, and the 25th of Ramadan. You know, Imam Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, and others go on to actually list almost 40 to 50, if I'm not mistaken, 46 views, 46 opinions that have been put forth with regards to specifying Laylatul Qadr. Now, there are some scholars who would go on to say that, you know, it is during the 21st night. There are others who would very strongly advocate for Laylatul Qadr falling on the 27th night. And there are others who would say perhaps 29th night. Now, when you look at the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there too you have companions reporting a spectrum of opinions. And the best way to reconcile all of these narrations and all of the views put forth by the scholars, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is the best way to do it is encapsulated in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where our mother Aisha radiyallahu anha is reported to have said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Taharraw laylatal qadri fil witri min al ashr al awakhir min Ramadan." Allah's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Search for Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights of the last 10 days of Ramadan, of the last 10 of Ramadan, search for Laylatul Qadr during the odd nights." So what we can conclude is that Laylatul Qadr is hidden within the last 10 nights, and to be more specific, hidden within the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the previous hadith, perhaps it's for our own good, so that we seek out that night, so that we just don't keep ourselves busy with good deeds for one night, but rather we end up seeking that night and actually doing a lot more good deeds across the last 10 nights of Ramadan. You see, there are things that are hidden from our knowledge for our own good. For example, if you take something like Sa'atul Istijaba, the hour during which your du'as are answered on Friday. There is a special hour. Now that hour is hidden. There are views put forth by scholars. There are some who would say that it is the time in between the two sermons, when the imam slash khatib sits down on the pulpit, it's that timing. Then there are those who would say it is from the time the khatib stands on the pulpit until he gets down. Then there are those who would say that it is the last hour during Friday. That's basically just about 1 hour before sunset on Friday. But in a way, it's hidden so that we strive to make as much dua as possible during the entire day of Friday. Similarly, if you take something like Ismullah al-A'zam, the greatest name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he tells us that if one were to invoke, call upon Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala using the greatest name of Allah, his or her dua would be answered. But now with regards to which name is this, it's hidden. So in a way, so that we would study the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so that we would use as many of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our du'as. And ideally what you need to be doing is you need to be using the different names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to become creative with your du'as. Let's say if you are asking for the forgiveness of Allah azza wa jal, you would use the name of Allah al-Ghaffar, al-Ghafoor. When asking for provision, you would use the name al-Razzaq. When asking for the mercy of Allah, you would use the name al-Rahman, al-Rahim. So thereby, you know, by using all of these names, there's a possibility that you would coincide on one of those names and your du'as would be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, with regards to when you are going to pass away from this world, it is hidden as well, so that we make the most out of every single second that we have. For example, if we were told, okay, on this date that you're going to be passing away, then what do you think we would do? We would, you know, procrastinate and wait till the last minute, okay, and then try to rectify things. But this way, because we don't know when we're going to pass away, we strive to make the most out of every single minute and every single second that we have in a move to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are things that are hidden for our own good, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. So if you are wondering why this night is hidden, it's for our own good as per the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now having said that, we do have certain signs that have been put forth to us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam that we can use to determine. So let's say you are in worship and you witness these signs, it can serve as a means of putting your heart at ease. It can serve as a means of encouragement that perhaps this night may actually be Laylatul Qadr. So from these signs, I want to mention a few. We have, for example, the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu that has been recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. It's a lengthy hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that hadith too, he instructs his companions and by extension all of us, search for it in the odd nights of the last 10 days of Ramadan. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I also saw myself in the dream. So basically it was a dream that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had witnessed. He comes out and he talks to his companions about it and he tells them to look for Laylatul Qadr during the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And he goes on to say, in that particular dream, it was Laylatul Qadr and I saw myself prostrating in mud and water. As in the understanding, because the narrator goes on to say, on the night of the 21st, so Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he goes on to say, on the night of the 21st, the sky was covered with clouds. Okay, this is, I mean, in reality, now we are out of the dream. The companion says, because the Prophet comes and says, I saw myself in the dream, I was in the midst of Laylatul Qadr, and when I prostrated in mud and water. So now the companion goes on to say, on the night of the 21st, the sky was covered with clouds and it rained. And the rain water started to leak through the roof of the masjid at the praying place of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I saw with my own eyes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the completion of the morning prayer leaving, and his face was covered with mud and water. As in, due to the fact that, you know, the roof was crude. You know, in those days, water would leak. It was made of palm fiber and palm leaves. So water would leak into the masjid, onto the floor of the masjid. And the floor obviously consisted of dry sand and mud. So when water mixed with the sand, you have mud now. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prostrated on the mud. And now there was water and mud on the forehead of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we can deduce from this hadith is there's a possibility that it could, that there could be a slight rain, if you will, a slight drizzle, if you will, during the night of power. Along with that, we also have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the book of Imam Muslim, where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says that we were talking about Laylatul Qadr in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he said, he who amongst you remembers the night when the moon arose and it was like mithlu shiqi jafna, it was like a piece of a plate. So when looking up at the moon, if it is like a piece of a plate, flat and round, and if it's like a piece of a plate where you see half of it, like a piece of a plate, that too is a sign that it could be Laylatul Qadr. And then with regards to the atmosphere, that's another sign where we have the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where his report to have said, Laylatul Qadri Laylatun Samihatun. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, the night of Al-Qadr is a calm, serene and peaceful night. It is not hot, nor is it cold. So, as you can see now, these signs, by the way, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, these signs do not mean that, I mean, as in, if you don't see these two signs, now don't arrive at a conclusion that, oh, you know what, if I don't witness these signs, then that would mean that it is not Laylatul Qadr. No, not necessarily. But you do have these signs that have been put forth by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know, you should attempt to, as much as possible, involve yourself in doing as many, many good deeds as possible, you know, because some of us might think, oh, you know what, let me, instead of doing good deeds, just go out and start looking for the signs. And only if I see the signs, I'm going to be keeping myself busy with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, that is not the right attitude. But rather, you should be busy in the ibadah, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And along with that, if you witness these signs, then so be it. That is well and good, mashallah. So I hope, you know, this video was of benefit. And as you can see, with all these narrations that are in place, what we can safely conclude is that yes, the night of power is hidden within the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. But let's not conclude and say, you know what, I think that it is the 21st night or the 23rd night or the 25th night or the 27th night. And let us not just only restrict our ibadah to one of those nights. No, rather let us strive to revive the nights across the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Try to do as many different good deeds as possible. For example, try to allocate a small amount of charity for every single night during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. That way, you're going to inevitably coincide with Laylatul Qadr, because you have to understand that on a yearly basis, Laylatul Qadr moves around. It doesn't just stick to one particular date. Now, let's say last year it could have been the 27th night. This year it could be the 25th night. Next year it could be the 23rd night. So what we understand from this is that every single year we are supposed to strive during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So make it a habit to alternate between different types of ibadah, where you spend a portion of the night in salah, you spend a portion of the night in the remembrance of Allah, in the reading of the Quran, in the studying and reflection of the Quran, in making as much dua as possible. You see, we have another narration where Aisha radiallahu anha, she asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, if I, and the narration goes along the lines of these words, if I were to know as to whether, you know, if I were to know for sure that this is Laylatul Qadr, what dua should I make? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he teaches her, Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, Allahumma innaka afuw, you are the most forgiving. Tuhibbul afwa, and you love to forgive. Fa'fu anni, forgive me. To make this beautiful dua. And along with that, there are other du'as that have been taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. And along with that, I mean, if you don't know du'as in Arabic, don't let that overwhelm you and intimidate you. You can always raise your hands and make du'a in your own language, the language that you are comfortable with. Be creative. Write down your du'as. Instead of making the same thing in a monotonous way, write down your du'as. Each and every one of us, we have different requests that we would want to put in front of the generous Lord, in front of our generous Lord. So let us be creative in our du'as and make as many du'as as possible. Let us make du'a for our brethren, for all those who are suffering around the world, for us to go back to normalcy, for those who are suffering within the pandemic, so many countries within lockdown. And that's another thing as well. If you are amidst a lockdown and if you can't go to the masjid, you should adhere to the laws and guidelines put in place by by your local authorities. You shouldn't break the law, because at the end of the day, these you know, lockdowns and whatnot are for your own safety. So you can always revive the night at home, where with your family, you can pray in jama'ah, you can pray qiyam with your family, you can read the Quran, you can study the Quran, you can revive the night with your family members, with your spouse, with your children, and make this Ramadan a memorable Ramadan, where you raise your hands and make dua unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cry unto Allah azza wa jal, and He, the most forgiving, the most merciful, is waiting to answer your duas, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. So let us strive. Let us strive to make the most out of these last 10 nights of Ramadan. Let us strive to do as many good deeds as possible during every single night, where we have a variety of good deeds that we put forth unto our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we pray sincerely and earnestly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses each and every one of us to make the most out of these last 10 nights, to attain Laylatul Qadr, to witness many more Ramadan in the future, and to attain many more Laylatul Qadr in the future. And just as how He united us here across this video, across these platforms, may He unite us in the beautiful and lofty gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'waya an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khaira, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.